1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1, and we're going to read verse number 1 to 9. And I'm going to take verse number 7 for a text verse after a while. I hope you can do what the Bible says. Do what the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter a little bit later on. It says, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. That means to focus for just a little while. Don't think about what's on your cell phone. Don't think about what's on Facebook and all that rot, you know, that takes up people's time. Think about, try to focus for a little while on the Bible and the Word of God. And hopefully the Lord will give us something that will help us today. Hopefully that you'll be built up in the faith at least just a little bit. Amen. And so try to gird up the loins of your mind for just a little while. Okay, that's a command from the Bible. I wish this morning that, man, I had such a positive message for you folks. Just all positive and good and everything. But you know, I've got a Bible in front of me. I got a Bible in front of me, and it's not all positive. You know, there's some other stuff in there besides just being positive. So I have to preach the whole thing. You got to preach the good stuff along with the hard stuff. And there are some hard stuff in the Bible. That's obeying the Lord. And so we got to take it all, not just the part that makes us feel all squishy and warm on the inside, but you know, other stuff too. We got to take the whole thing. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Got to take that part. The Bible says, for all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All that kind of stuff. We've got to get it all. So in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 1, you follow along as I read for you. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect. Notice the word elect, and we'll come back to that here in just a little bit. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. Notice the words begotten us again, unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse number 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I'm going to try to take verse number 7. I'll get down to it after a while. Verse number 7 for a thought text verse, the trial of your faith. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. So we'll try to talk about that here in just a little bit. Father, we ask your blessing upon these words, and I pray that you'd help us this morning. Father, we pray the Spirit of God would please enlighten us. And God, apply these things to our hearts. Lord, only you could do that. I have no idea, Lord, what is in the hearts of your people today and what they need and what might help them and what might make them stronger. God, you know those things. And I pray to you to help us, God, and do whatever's necessary in our hearts, my heart, and the hearts of your people. Pray the Spirit of God would help me to think clearly and bring to my mind the thoughts and illustrations that would be helpful. And I pray that you'd bless your people. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the book of 1 Peter, chapters written for us by the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter is the one who walked on the water. He's out on the water at night with the other apostles there in his ship. And Jesus came walking to them on the sea. And it scared them all to death there for just a little while. But Peter looked and he saw Jesus and he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee. Bid me to come unto thee on the sea. And so Peter walked on the water for just a little while until he began to look around and he saw the waves and all that kind of stuff. He saw all of that, and then he began to get afraid. He lost his faith and he went down, fell into the water. So that was the Apostle Peter. He's the one who walked with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. He was brought to Jesus by his brother Andrew. You find that in John chapter 1 and verse 40 to 42. He's brought to Jesus by his brother Andrew. Now you know what? You don't hear much about Andrew. How many of y'all have ever heard of Andrew? A few of you. You heard of Andrew? You know what? You don't hear much about Andrew, but you hear about the Apostle Peter. And Andrew is the one who brought Peter to Jesus. See, you don't hear much about Andrew, but you hear a lot about the Apostle Peter. See, if you bring somebody to the Lord or something like that, who knows what he's going to turn out to be if he gets saved. You might find another Paul, or you might find another Andrew, or you might find somebody like that, you see. Peter wound up being the head of the apostles. Whenever you hear somebody give the names of the apostles, who do they always start off with? Peter, James, and John. See, Peter, he's the author of this. In this chapter, we're going to learn that the trial or the trying of your faith is worth more than gold. The trying of your faith is worth, that's hard for people to grasp. That if your faith is tried and you go through a trial in life, the Bible says that is worth more than gold is. People fight over gold. They long for gold. They search for it. Man, they'll leave their house. They'll leave their home. They'll do anything for gold. When I was in the Army, I was stationed in Fort Knox, Kentucky. That's where the gold depository is for the United States. And we used to fly. I flew in a UH-1C helicopter. And we would fly around it, but they wouldn't allow us to fly over Fort Knox, there where the gold is. But they got bars of gold in there, I suppose. And people do anything for gold. They'll leave their house, they'll leave their home, they'll leave their family, they'll give up everything to go and find some gold. But guess what, folks? The Bible says there is something that's better than gold. And it's something that we might not even like. The trying of your faith, the Bible says, is greater than gold. But who wants to have their faith tried? It's worth more than gold. In this chapter also, chapter number 1 of 1 Peter, we learn also that the blood of Jesus Christ is called precious. The precious blood of Christ, that's what bought you. That's what paid for your salvation. If you're here this morning and you are saved, the way that you got saved or the thing that paid for your salvation was the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that blood of Jesus Christ is worth more than all of the oaths of the sacrifices that came before it. The blood, the red stuff that flowed in the veins of Jesus Christ, is called God's blood according to Acts 20 and verse number 28. You see, that's what's in this chapter right here. You're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish. And nobody thinks much about it. That God Almighty sent His Son into this world to redeem them. And He allowed wicked men to take Him and nail Him to a cross. And on that cross, He shed His blood, the precious blood of Christ, and that's what redeems us. A while ago we sang the song, Redeemed. Redeemed how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's how you got saved. That's why you could be saved. That's why you don't have to go to hell this morning, is because Jesus came and shed His blood on the cross. You see, that blood is called precious. In chapter 1 and verse number 8, verse number 19, in this chapter also, chapter number 1 of 1 Peter, there are two incorruptible things. Two incorruptible things. See, everything on this earth is corruptible. That means it corrupts, it goes down, it wastes away, it falls apart. That's why evolution can't be true. Because everything on this earth is corruptible except one thing. You know what that one thing is? That one thing is that hope you got a Bible in your hand. That's it. The incorruptible seed of the Word of God. That's found in verse 23 of chapter number 1. There's two incorruptible things in chapter number 1. One of them's up there. That's heaven. That's called, says that you have an incorruptible inheritance up there. See? And then the Bible, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. All right? That's what's in this chapter. And one day that incorruptible seed is going to bring forth an incorruptible body. How'd you like to have an incorruptible body? A body that's never going to get old, never going to get weak. And I was telling my wife this morning, we was talking about a certain subject, and I told her, I said, I just don't think I have the physical strength to do that. I'd like to do it, but I don't think I have the strength anymore. You know, I'd like to. I'm going to be 72 here in a few years. I know I'm still a young man. You know, I'm still... And I'd like to do that, what we're talking about, but I don't think I've got the physical strength to do it. That funeral the other day just about done me in for a while. I had to go home and lay down. But one of these days, praise God, we're all going to get an incorruptible body. That incorruptible seed that's inside of me that brought forth salvation. It's going to bring forth a brand new body one of these days. An incorruptible body that I can live in forever. I'll show you that in the Bible. Hold your place in 1 Peter and turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and look at verse number 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51, behold, here's Paul preaching. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You know what it means to sleep there in that context? He's talking about physical death. We'll not all have to go through physical death. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not always sleep. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Look at verse 52. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised. What? Incorruptible. Incorruptible. A brand new body. One of these days, I told the folks, what day that was, Friday, at the funeral, I said, folks, there's a great day coming. There's a great day coming. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. Eddie, want to have a brand new body? Want to get rid of that patch? Amen. Want to get rid? You want to have a body you live in forever? That's coming. That's a great day coming, folks. That's the great day that's coming on this earth. You see, God has done great things in the past. He said, let there be light, and there was light. That's a great day. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's a great day. Moses held out his rod over the Red Sea, and the sea parted, and they walked across on dry ground. That's a great day. Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed His blood. That's a great day. He's raised from the dead 3 days later. That's a great day. But I'll tell you what, folks, there's coming another great day. Jesus is going to come in the air and raise up those bodies out of the grave and empty out that graveyard. At least of those bodies, those people that were saved. If they're not saved, guess what happens to their body? It's going to stay in the grave for another 1,000 years, and then they'll have to go to the great white throne judgment, you see. But for a saved Christian, a man who is saved, there's a great day coming where the dead will be raised, and he says, incorruptible. Incorruptible. No more bald heads. No more wrinkles. Brother Butler, no more wrinkles. No more white hair. No more gone hair. No more aches and pains in the knees, in the wherever. I wake up all the time at night, see, my shoulders, see. My wife, it's the hip. Me, it's the shoulder. This one right here, see. All the time in the night. I'm not going to do anything about it. Just put up with it, see. But see, one day all that incorruptible, a body that is incorruptible. Amen? See? That's what's coming. Look at the verse. Verse number 52, in a moment, the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, one more verse. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal, are you looking at your Bible? This mortal must put on immortality, not subject to death. Amen. I'm showing you what's in this Bible. What's in this Bible here? See, there's two incorruptible things in this chapter, and one of them is a heavenly inheritance, and we're going to read about it again in just a minute. And then the Word of God is incorruptible, and then there's an incorruptible body one of these days. Now, go back, and look at verse number. Let's start in verse number three. I'm sorry, verse number two. I want to explain to you a little bit what it means to be elect. What is the election? What is the election? Look at verse number 2. Elect. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Here's the thing about election, about the elect. Listen carefully. God foreknows things. Here, what he's saying is this, that God foreknew. You know what it means to foreknow something, to know beforehand. God foreknew that he would save sinners, men and women and boys and girls. He foreknew that, you see. And he knew how that he would save them. He knew how he was going to save them. He foreknew that. But nobody was washed in the blood before the foundation of the earth, you see. That didn't come to pass. Nobody was washed in the blood or saved before the foundation of the world. And nobody is sanctified by the Spirit until they were saved. Look here. God did not choose out 1 million people to be saved and 50 million people over here. You're going to be lost. See, this is the elect over here and you're the non-elect over here. He didn't do that. God didn't pick out 1 million people over here and say, well, you're going to be saved. You're the elect. Here's 50 million people over here. You're going to be lost. You're the non-elect. He didn't do that. I don't believe that for 1 minute. See, I am not what you call a Calvinist. But here's what he did. He foreknew how that he would save those who would trust his son. He foreknew how he was going to do that, those that would trust his son. You see, and it was through the sanctification of the Spirit. That is, the sanctification of the Spirit is this. Listen carefully. The Spirit of God would move upon the hearts of men and women. And if they would respond, then he would wash them in the blood of Jesus. Amen? That makes sense to you? One day, you heard the gospel, and the Spirit of God moved upon your heart. And you responded and you said yes. And God sprinkled the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, in your heart and cleansed you. You see that? That's what you call election. He foreknew what he was going to do and how he was going to do it. But he didn't force anybody to get saved or not get saved. You see that? The sprinkling. Notice the phrase in there, the sprinkling. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Sprinkling. See, that sprinkling is not sprinkling water. It's not sprinkling babies or something like that. It's called sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a spiritual thing where God sprinkles your heart by the blood of Jesus and cleanses your soul. Cleanses your heart, I should say. Cleanses your heart. You see, that happens whenever you get saved. I'm just giving you something. That's what you call election. Here's election, that God foreknew that he would cleanse by the blood of Jesus all those who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what is called election. Election. The elect are those who have responded to Jesus Christ. Let me show you a few other things in verse 3 to 5 here. I have to hurry on so we don't get too long. I showed you these last week, but I have been thinking and about this, folks, that people, you know, we preach something one time and we think everybody gets it. You folks that are teachers here, I want you to remember something. Whenever you're teaching something, it's okay to go over it over and over it again. We might have to hear something 20 times before we ever get it. Do you know it really? We might have to hear something 20 times or 25 times or more. That's what preaching is. It's not something different every single time. Because you can say something one time and we don't always get it. Preaching is something over and over and over again. And there's some verses in this chapter that says that we are to bring things to your remembrance over and over again. We'll finally get it, see? We'll finally get it. There's a lot of things I've been working on for many, many years. And still, some of them still don't have them. Let me bring to your mind what I gave you last week. Look in verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy. Number one, the first thing I would show you, that God has lots of mercy for us, an abundant mercy. See, that's found in verse number 3, according to his abundant mercy. Number two, he hath begotten us again into a lively hope. God has given us a new birth. See, some of y'all didn't hear that last week. But that's what I preached on, is the new birth. You missed out. You missed out. That is very important. He says he's begotten us again into a lively hope, see, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In other words, that's why you can be born again, is because of the new birth. He has given us a new birth, a second birth. On the inside, because your first birth is no good. Verse number four, it talks about that inheritance that I told you about a while ago. Look at verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. See, folks, that's heaven right there. That is your eternal destination, and you can't lose it. Nothing is going to happen to it, ever. If you're saved this morning, I don't care if you work for the Lord your whole life or you never do anything. If you're saved, you still have an inheritance because you're in the family. See, nothing can happen to it. But there are other rewards that if you don't serve the Lord, then you're going to miss out on them. See, so we're supposed to encourage people to give their lives and dedicate their lives to the Lord because of other things, which we don't have to talk about. We don't have time to talk about this morning. Another thing that I would remind you of in verse number 5 is that God has promised to keep you through faith. See, we preach eternal security here. Verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. See, your salvation, what that talks about here is that your salvation is going to be completed one of these days. Because you don't have, you're saved, all right? Your soul is saved, but your body's not saved. And we already talked about your body. So whenever you get your body saved and your body, you get that brand new body, then your salvation will be complete. See, it's already paid for. You're saved, your soul is saved, everything's paid for. It's just that your body hasn't been saved yet. Your body hadn't been saved yet. Verse number six. Now then, what I gave you, look up here for a second. 1 to 5, all that's all the good stuff. But it turns into something different here in the next couple of verses. Verse number 6. Verse number 5, verse 1 to 5 is all the good stuff, but now there's some different words. Look in verse number 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Well, that's good and positive, isn't it? Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You see that? Look here. God gives you all the good stuff. He tells you what all the things you got that Jesus died for you and shed his blood. But he said, but now then, if need be, you may have some heaviness through, and there may be manifold troubles. You see, all of these kinds of things. Why does he do that? Listen carefully. All the good things, whenever the bad things happen, you are supposed to look at the bad things through all of these good things that God has for you. You look at those bad things through the eyes, I guess you'd say, of the good things. God's got all these good things for you, but look, there's some hard things coming too. That's the trial of your faith. That's the trial of your faith. He said, wherein you greatly rejoice, verse number 6, though now for a season, see, it's a while, if need be. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that God is saying that there may be a time when you need some trouble in your life? Amen. Not me. I don't need any trouble. Well, I'm surely not going to pray for it, but it might come anyway, because God said you might need some trouble. Why do you need some trouble? I'll tell you why. Because you got all this flesh on you. And God says, if I don't give you some trouble, well, you probably won't ever look my way. You're probably never going to pray. You're not going to read your Bible. You're not going to do this or that if some trouble doesn't come your way. And so God says, if need be, if need be, and we need it. That's what he said. I didn't write it. You see, if need be, ye are in heaviness. There's a heavy load there. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold many temptations. Temptations here. I don't think it's talking about temptation to sin, but it's trials, tribulations, testings. Let me ask you something. Have you ever had your faith tested? Let me ask you something else. Is your faith real? Is your faith real? Has it been through the fire? Has it come out on the other side? Is it real faith? You see, that's what God wants to know. I can prove that, show you from in a little bit here. I'm running out of time, but in Genesis chapter number 22, chapter number 22. See, a lot of people's faith, it's just sort of surface-like. And the minute that some kind of trial or tribulation comes up, well, whoop, they're out. They're out, you see. God wants to know, do you have real faith? Do you really love God? Or do you only serve God whenever it's easy and whenever it's convenient? You see. What if some trouble comes in your life? Are you going to keep on keeping on? Or are you going to be like a morning glory and just fold up and fade away? You see? Amen. Verse number 7, here's the message. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. One of these days, he's going to reward people who have faith. Your faith will be rewarded if you have some faith. Now, here's the first point I'd like to make. I've only got a couple. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. And I already talked to you about this. He says the trial of your faith is better than gold. It is better than gold. In other words, if you had a pile of gold over here, a big pile, let's say $50 million over here. You got a pile of gold over here. But over here, you could have stronger faith. Which one would you choose? Which one would you choose? You know what most people would choose? I'll choose the gold today and I'll work on that faith tomorrow. You see, I told you folks in Sunday school that most people in America are materialists. 95 or 98% of the people in America, Christians included, are materialists, and they cannot serve God the way they ought to because they love their material possessions more than they love God. Amen. The Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon. Even if they wanted to, they couldn't. If you had a pile of gold right there and you could have better faith, which would you choose? If God said tomorrow you can win the lottery, let's say the lottery is way on up there. It's $180 million. I don't know nothing about the lottery. I don't believe in gambling. And I don't think Christians ought to gamble. Amen? I don't think Christians ought to gamble. I don't think Christians ought to drink. But they're having a winery, building a winery out here. I'm going to put a piece of scripture in the, put our church advertisement in the paper, and right underneath it, I'm going to put Proverbs 20 and verse number 1, which says, "Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." Why, they're probably Christians. Bible says you're cursed if you put liquor to your brother's lips. There's a curse upon you, see. We ain't going to change. It still ain't right. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, you see. Amen. If God said tomorrow you could win the lottery or you could have stronger faith over here, which would you choose? Most would say, give me the money, give me the lottery, and I'll work on that. I'll work on that faith later. Did you know that most people that win the lottery, it ruins their life. It ruins their life. I don't know if it's 100%, but there's a lot of them that do that, see. The truth is, in the long run, you'd be better off with faith than a pile of gold. You'd be better off. What if someone dies rich and they go to hell? You know what? In about 5 seconds, they would be glad to trade their money for some faith. They'd be glad to trade their wealth for some faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Bible says, gold that perisheth. Gold that perisheth. Your faith will be rewarded, the Bible says here in the last part of that verse, verse number 7, it will be rewarded at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You don't have to turn there, but here's what the Bible says about the appearing of Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He's going to appear one of these days, see. He's going to appear one of these days. I'll tell you somebody whose faith was tested. Just ask yourself, has my faith ever been tested? If my faith hasn't been tested, I don't know if it's real or not. Is my faith real? What would I do? What would I do? Is my faith real? There's a guy in the Bible, his name is Abraham, and it's found in Genesis chapter number 22, and God came to Abraham, and he tested his faith. Bible says, Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 1, it says this, It says, it came to pass after these things, let's look up here, that God did tempt Abraham. He tested him. He put him through a trial. God did tempt Abraham. And he said, in verse number 2, he said, take now thy son. Now look, folks, God's not going to come to you and say, I want you to sacrifice your son. He's not going to do that. That's already been done. So he's not going to do that. But he might ask you something else. He's not going to ask you to kill your son. But he might ask you something else. Would you do it? The Bible says it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, that he tested Abraham. And here's what he told him. He said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. And I want you to go to a mountain, to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. That means he has to die. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. In verse number 3, it says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for a burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Now that's found in 1,892 years B.C. So that means that's like almost, not quite, 4,000 years ago. Now let's move forward, and what would happen if something like that happened today and God told somebody to, let's use the same illustration, God told somebody today in the year 2018, God said, I want you to do this. But today, God would have to text them. He would have to send them a text message, you know. Or he'd have to call them on their cell phone, you know, because they'd be on the run, you know. They'd be going somewhere. God couldn't catch them, you know. So he'd have to text them, send them a text or send them an email or something like that, you know, and say, hey, I got a job for you. Take now thy son, this is Abraham, he's talking to Abraham, you know, but it's up here in 2018. Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. I want you to go to a land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering. And Abraham, he gets the text message, you know, he gets the message. But he texts back and he said, well, Lord, he said, I'm busy today. I can't go today because, let's see, what's going to happen? Isaac, we're having a birthday party for Isaac this afternoon, and we can't go. Can't go. See, can't do that. You understand, don't you, Lord? Y'all getting this? And so the Lord gets a text message back. He said, well, how about tomorrow? Could you go tomorrow? He texts him back, you know, and said, well, could you go tomorrow? Tomorrow's Monday. Abraham texts back, and he said, well, Lord, tomorrow night, Isaac is in soccer. We can't go tomorrow night either. And you don't. We go to all the games. And see, we can't stop and do this thing that you want done here. See, we can't do that. So he texts back, you know, to God. And God gets the message and says, well, how about the next day? How about the next day? Could you go the next day? You know. And he texts that to Abraham. Could you go the next day? That'd be Tuesday. Abraham gets the text message and he looks at it and he says, well, Lord, Isaac has a friend and he's planning on going over to his house tonight, you know, spend the night and so they can have some fun. So that's out. I'm sorry, Lord, we just can't make it. Can't make it. And so the Lord, he gets the text message back and he said, well, you know, I tell you what, why don't you just forget it and maybe we'll try again next week, you see. Now see, that's kind of how it'd be today with today's Christians. You see, a large percentage of them. Amen. Amen. Everybody like that. I know some of you don't like it, but I'm just giving it to you. He tested Abraham's faith. He tested Abraham's faith. Abraham didn't mess around. He didn't go talk to his wife about it either. He didn't go ask permission from his wife. Can I go, honey? Do we have anything on the calendar That I would I be able to go and do this thing that that God has told me to do? He didn't do any of that. He got up the next morning. He saddled his ass. He got all everything ready, and he left that very same day. I don't even know if he told his wife or not. She might have tried to talk him out of it. You see. Amen. Abraham rose up early in the morning. Verse number 4. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come back again to you." Look, he considered going up on the mountain, he considered that to be worship. And he believed that if he killed his son with that knife, that God would raise him up from the dead and he would come back down with him. That's what he had to believe. You see, now that's what you call faith. His faith was tried and tested. He came out on top. In the long run, folks, faith is better than a pile of gold. Amen. That's what the Bible says. That's hard to see right now because of all the materialism that is in our country. You see, I don't have time to read the whole thing, but go down to the end of the story. Verse number 10, Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, said, "Abraham, Abraham," and he said, "Here am I." Verse number 12, and he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know," see, God says, "Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." You know what the problem is? All over our land, no fear of God. They are not afraid. Nobody is afraid of God anymore. They're not afraid of God, you see. They're not afraid of God. A lot of folks, a lot of you folks sitting right here in your heart, see, you already got your mind made up about a bunch of things. Doesn't matter what God's going to say, you already got plans made, and God's not going to change them, you see. It's too bad that we're that way. Verse number 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as said, "Today in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." In verse 15, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy." You know what he did? His faith was rewarded. Faith is better than a pile of gold. And your faith, the trying of your faith, the Bible says, is more precious than of gold that perishes. We have to look at it that way. You have to look at it that way. See, it's better to have faith than it is those kinds of things. Let's bow our heads, please. Thank you for